Okay, so first of all, what's baptism about? Why do we have a swimming pool in the church? Why do we do this? Well, firstly, it's because it's in the Bible. This church and evangelical churches like ours believe the Bible is God's word that is given to us, and we need to listen to what God says. And so it's in God's word. That's the simple answer. Because what happened is Jesus himself, who, you know, we all come here to worship and sing about, even he submitted to be baptized in the River Jordan, if you remember. And in the Bible, most of the baptisms, if not all the baptisms that we read about, are all done by dunking people underwater, called, we call it immersion. And that's why we do it this way. We don't just sprinkle people or whatever. And we do it for it's not just adult baptism. What we call our baptism is not adult baptism, but believers' baptism. So the reason we do it this way while people are older is because we believe that, again, that we have to be able to give a testimony. And that's what these guys are going to do tonight. Just a little bit of a talk or to tell us. You have to declare that we believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins, and that we're going to promise to live for him for the rest of our lives. Now, that what the fact that these people have become Christians and started following Jesus already happened. This water is nothing special. It's not holy water or anything like that. It's just St. Helens water that's come out of there, and an awful lot of it as well over the last few days that's in there, all right? And believe me, I've got to know it very well because I've had to fill it about four times, but we won't go into that. So that's just water. That's just a pool. I'm just an ordinary fella. You can see that. I just wear ordinary stuff. Nothing special about any of the things that go on around this tonight. So what's happening? Well, what we believe when we become a Christian is that Jesus calls us, if you like, to give up ourselves. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone's not prepared to give up everything he has, he can't be one of my followers. Now, what that means is we're not prepared to die. Imagine our lives got our heart and our the running of our life is like a throne. And most people in the world want to be in charge of their own life. We want to sit on the throne of our lives. But what we believe as Christians is that God made us, and therefore we have to get off the throne of our lives and let God rule us, God lead us. And he does that through his word, the Bible, as we've just been mentioning. And as we gather together, that's why we come to church, to hear about it all and what have you. So what a Christian has done is recognise that that's what they want in their life, for God to be part of their life, to be on the throne of their lives in their heart. And in a sense, it's like dying to yourself. And the reason why we do that is because we realise that what's happened is most of us in the world don't want to be bothered with God. We don't naturally go towards God. We run away from him. And that's what we hear the word sin used a lot. But that's what that is, really. I is the middle letter of sin. And sin is like eye disease. It's putting me first. I am at the centre of my life. And I don't want God there. But what Christians do is realise that actually life without God is meaningless. And it doesn't work. And it breaks us in the end. And so we have to come to him, and we have to confess our sin of rejecting him and allow him to come back on the throne of our lives. So we are dying to ourselves. And God says that when we do that, the Bible tells us that we are a new creation. We have a new life. It doesn't mean, and you often hear the term used as Christians, born again. And, oh, he's a born again. She's a born again Christian, as though it's something weird. Actually, there's no other type of Christian. If you are a true Christian, you are born again. It's brand new. It's a new life. And that's what we celebrate when we become a Christian. So in a sense, what we're doing is we give a brand new start, a brand new hope for the future, a brand new way of looking at life. And all that. Everything changes. It doesn't mean to say we become perfect, but what we know is that as Christians, we can go to the cross of Jesus every time and say, Lord, I'm sorry again. I've messed up today. I messed up in that situation. I want you to forgive me. And that's what we do. And that's what a Christian is. So none of us here are perfect tonight. Nobody. And these people certainly on the front row aren't, because I know them. All right. And they're not. But what they've done is they've found grace. They've found something. It's like somebody once said, becoming a Christian and following Jesus is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's pretty much it. We all come as, you know, desperate beggars before God, saying, Lord, will you forgive us? And he does, and he gives us a new life. So what's that going to do with the pool? Well, imagine, and it's not going to be the case tonight, but imagine that pool is a grave, all right, and the water is like that. So when they stand in the pool there, what we're saying is it's kind of a pictorial demonstration of what's going on in our hearts, already happened. And we're saying when we go down into the water, we are saying we've died to our old life. And when we whoosh up into it, that's what it's going to be, guys, a whoosh into the after water, right? And the water cascades everywhere. We've raised to a new life. And it's a wonderful thing. It doesn't actually happen then. It's already happened. But it's a picture. And the reason they're doing it tonight is for you. Well, not the only reason, but they want you to know what's happened to them. And that's great, isn't it? Because that's what the Bible asks us to do, to witness. And so, and it's also because Jesus says that we need to believe and be baptized. And baptism is a mark of witness to that. It also means that they are, you know, it's kind of a demonstration that they belong to God's family. They're born again into a new family, if you like, and all of that. But all of this has already happened. It doesn't happen tonight. It's already happened, that, and you'll hear that in a minute. This is just for our benefit and to obey God. And the beauty of it is, and I'll tell you this, guys, I've already said this, that whenever we obey God and do something that's difficult, because it's not easy to do this, you know, go in a pool and all that kind of thing and talk in front of you a lot. I'll tell you, it's not easy to do that. But whenever we do that, and whenever we witness for the Lord, whenever we take a step out like that, obedience in the Bible brings a blessing from God. And I believe tonight, as you guys obey him, you will receive a blessing from God because of that. I don't know what it's going to be and how it's going to be like that, but you'll feel that the Lord has blessed you because you've stepped out and obeyed him. And that's really important as well. So it's going to be, that's what we're doing tonight. Hopefully that makes it clear why we do it the way we do it. All right. But everyone who gets baptized has got an individual story, and we're going to hear from them now. You've heard enough from me. So we're going to hear this. So can I have you all four of you out the front? Come and gather around the podium here. I'm going to ask two questions. Just come and stand there, that's right. So I'm just going to ask each of them two questions. And the first one is and the same questions. One is, why is it that you wanted to, what is it that made you want to follow Jesus? How did that happen? And then secondly is, why do you want to be baptised? It's important that we hear their stories, isn't it? Why they want to do that. They're all going to get the same question. Now, some of them, because it's nerve-wracking standing in front of you, have written down their answers. We've talked about this in the week, and they've written it down, and they're going to read them for you. So that's why they're doing that, okay? Because, you know what you'd feel like if you were stood here. So that's what they're going to do. Is that okay, guys? You're all ready for that? But Claire's going to go first, I think, aren't you, Claire? So, Claire, what is it that made you become a follower of Jesus? Why did you become a Christian? Or what led to that?
Well, I grew up in a Christian house and went to church for many years. And then you get to an age where you don't know whether you want to go or not, so your parents drag you to church for a while. And then at some point, you've got to make a decision.
Stand a bit closer to me, I think.
You've got to make a decision, really, as to whether you want to continue to go to church, whether you want to just take another road. Now, I continued to go to church. I was at St. Luke's at the time. Not because I found it interesting or that something amazing was happening, but because of the group of people that were around me and the friends that were there. And they kept me in church. And we used to have a really good time and have a laugh and go and do things. And I remember... And I went to confirmation when I was 15, because that's what you did. Mm-hmm. But then when I was 17, we were taken to an Eric Delve, most of you probably know Eric Delve, an Eric Delve concert in St. Helens. And I remember going with a group of friends, and if you think about it, we're 17. And some of the group had brought some friends with them, and one of them was this very, very good-looking lad who was in a looked a bit like John Travolta. And had this, but he wasn't a Christian. He'd just come along. I don't know why. He'd just been invited. And, of course, we went to this. It was a great night. And then at the end, he gave a call for you to come up. And I felt in my heart that I needed to go up. But... there was this really good-looking lad that was sat there, and I didn't want to look like a fool. So I sat there the whole time thinking, I'm not going anywhere, I'm just going to sit here. This is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. And then before I knew it, my legs were off down the aisle, because God had already decided that that's what I was going to do. And it was the best thing I ever did. And that was the point in my life where I chose then to follow God and his ways. And I've done that for the whole of my life, and it's not been easy. You know, when you're at school... and you profess your faith, it isn't easy because teenagers, they will try and make you do things you don't want to do, and you've got to fight against it, and then you become uncool, and it is very, very hard. But I would say to anyone who's young here and at secondary school now to stand firm in your faith, in what you believe, and don't let anyone change that. And I've lived my whole life in that way.
Great. That's a great answer, isn't it, there? So that's a real story of faith and carrying it through in, to today. So you're going to get baptised, which is a bit of a strange thing to do. We've already mentioned that, haven't we? So why do you want to get baptised, Claire? Why do you want to do that?
Well, I've led services for many years. I've been leading worship in churches for about nearly 30 years now. I know I don't look that old. And I just felt... my favourite verse in the Bible is Psalm 139, and I'm more so from when Charlotte was born, because it makes me realise and reminds me all the time that God is always watching. He's always there, no matter what. And you can't pretend in church to be one thing and something else in the real world, I should say, when you're out and about in your real daily life. And I've never hidden my faith. It's always been... out there, and people have known I'm a Christian. But the other day, one of the readings that came up on my phone was Galatians 5, got it here, and it just reminded me of the reason why I was being baptised, and it says in it, Galatians 6, 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And that's why today I'm coming to be baptised.
Excellent. Thanks, Claire. Thank you for that. Okay, now, Melissa, come here, come stand here. You're right, Melissa. Now, I'm just going to ask you the same questions, and you just read what you talk to me about and read it off there. So, Melissa, why is it that you felt you wanted to become a Christian?
My mum and dad sent me to Sunday school, but as I grew up, I lost touch with the church. When I met Dave and James, I saw that they went to church. I wanted to be like them. Watching Dave and James led me to God. I wanted to say sorry to God for all the bad things. Since then, I have been really happy and confident. I have loved going to Trinity with Dave and James. Everyone has made me feel welcome. It's like a family.
Excellent. Thanks, Melissa. That's great. Oh, well, you've got your next bit to go, haven't you? Can you do this bit as well, okay? Maybe while you're here, she thought she was out then, didn't you, love? You thought she was finished. So your next bit is just, so then the next little bit, it's only a little bit, isn't it? Why do you want to get baptised, Melissa? Tell us.
I want to follow Jesus and obey him. I want people to see that I am following Jesus.
Excellent. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks very much for that. Well done. Okay, now Dave, is it you next, is it? Come on, Dave. Bench, nice top, mate. Very good, very good. Us baldies stick together. Don't we, mate? Yeah. Right, okay. Now, Dave, same for you. Okay, we've done the same things for everyone. Okay, so I know you're a bit nervous, but just read what's on there, that's fine. So, Dave, why did you want to become a Christian?
When I was young, I went to church with my mum and dad. But as I grew older, I stopped going. I used to mock my mum because of her faith, and I'm really sorry now that I did that. When I left school, anxiety took over me, and I really struggled with life. Over the last few years, I've realised that I need faith in God. I knew that I had to say sorry to God for all the bad things in my life. I wanted a new start, to be born again. I know that God loves me and is with me all the time. I now feel happier and more confident. I love coming to Trinity each week. They have become like a family to me.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave, for that. And the next question is the same again for you, isn't it? Is why then do you want to get baptised?
I ask God to wash away all the badness in my life. I know Jesus tells us to be baptised in the Bible, so I wanted to do what he says. I want everyone here to know that I have a new life now, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die.
Excellent. Well done, Mace. Excellent. Good man. Good man. Well done. It's hard work. They're really fast. Yeah, I think so. There's the three of them so far. It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? It's nerve-wracking for you, but they're just really brilliant the way they've been able to speak. Now, James, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Are you ready for this? Okay, so you do the same. Just read out what's on there and pull it up a bit. He's used to this. He reads the Bible in the church sometimes. Yeah, a bit more.
Davis puts the thing on,
no.
And Shaw's is the
chair. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, on YouTube, he's on that, that's right. YouTube star.
Well, what I was going to say, I think I'm a YouTube sensation.
Yeah, I think you are, James, yeah. But this is different because this is personal, isn't it? So James, why is it that you wanted to become a Christian?
Well, what led you there? Oh, I always went to church when I was young. When I was 12 at JUCO's, I was offered the chance to accept Jesus into my heart, but at the time I wasn't ready. So I went home, realised that I did want to follow Jesus, and so I prayed on my own and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I told my friends at school, but they just laughed at me. It made me feel angry, but I didn't want to react, so I prayed that the devil wouldn't take over and that God would help me. Since then, I've always known that God is with me over the years. God has helped me many times through ups and downs of life. He has given me the confidence and helped to realise that he has a reason for all the trials I have faced. I have always tried to follow Jesus, but when I lose my way, I know that God forgives me.
Amen. Good man, excellent. And the second question again, why would you want to be baptised, James?
I want to be closer to God. I know that Jesus commands us to believe and be baptised, so I want to obey him.
Excellent. I think they all deserve a round of applause. So clear. It's all over. Well done. Take your seats, guys. Take your seats again. Isn't it lovely to hear clear testimonies, just simple testimonies about how God has worked, you know, from Claire's going through all that time and, you know, being a Christian for a long time, but now wanting to obey, right the way through to these other guys here as well. And Melissa particularly, quite young in the faith, really, aren't you, Melissa? Not very long, and we've all known Melissa here for a while now. But it's great to hear, and we are so pleased and privileged to be able to be involved in this service with you tonight. And it'll be my privilege, and I know Eddie will be the same, to be in the water with you, to baptise you tonight as well. So, but it's not about us, it's about your relationship with God and your witness, as we've said. And I think you've done that really well there, and those little things that you've said. So well done, all of you. I know it was hard work for you. Claire, come on, you're first. Let's go in. Okay. And when they've been baptised, we want a big cheer and a clap and everything else. Don't be reserved. There's no time. We're standing in a pool full of water. You can't be reserved anymore. All right. It's not freezing. Get it up there. Right. Okay. Right. It's nice and warm at the bottom. Don't worry. But we're not going to the bottom, are we? Right. Okay, Claire. So, Claire, do you believe? Just want to make sure we get this right here. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has died for your sins? And do you promise to serve him for the rest of your life? I baptise you, Claire, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yay! 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 Okay. And that's all there is to it, guys. Come on, Melissa, you're next. Come on. Well done, Claire. Brilliant. It is weird, isn't it? It is very weird, yes, you're right.
Just thinking now, it's a big bath.
It's not that cold, is it? Right. Just grab your hand here, okay? Right. So, Melissa, got the same questions for you, okay? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? You do. And do you promise to serve him according to his grace for the rest of your days? So, Melissa, I baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There you go. Yay. Yay.
Right, who's next? It's David. Come on, Dave. Brilliant. Take your time. Getting warmer and warmer this water now. Last one in is going to be great. Move a bit further forward. Okay, that's it. There you go. Right, so same questions for you, Dave. All right, you ready? Okay, so Dave, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?
I do.
Right. And do you promise to serve him by his grace for the rest of your days?
I do.
So on confession of your faith, Dave, I baptise you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Take care of getting out this way. Well done. Okay, and finally it's James. Any time, mate. Oh, you ran in there, look at that. Can't wait. I know you can't wait. step forward a little bit more, okay. Right, so you ready? Yeah, okay. So just the same two questions, James, all right. So do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?
I do.
And do you promise to serve him for the rest of your days according to God's grace?
I will.
And so, James, on confession of your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.
Here we go.
Amen.
And we may be only a small church, really, in the northwest of Britain, in Rainhill here, but Paul reminded us in that reading that Mandy just read, I got it right this time, that this is, at the start of the reading said, this is something of first importance. The message that I brought to you was of first importance. And we're going to look at that very briefly this evening. Paul went to a city called Corinth, hence the title of the letter to the Corinthians. And Corinth, if you know anything about it at all, was a very cosmopolitan, very mixed city, people from all backgrounds, all races, all sort of creeds as well, and philosophers and clever people as well, as all sorts of right mishmash of people in Corinth. And it was a place very like the world we live in today, in many cities and many places in the world today, where, you know, to be a Christian is to be, or to follow Jesus, or to, in the way that these people have said tonight, is kind of quite strange and quite out there. And Paul went to this city that had everything. He said, actually, this gospel, this good news that I'm going to tell you is the first of first importance. It's what makes me the person that I am. It's what makes you the person that you are. Our eternal destiny depends on what we think of the gospel and the good news of Jesus, like the people have talked about tonight, and how we respond to that. And so Paul says at the end, I am what I am. You know that old song, I am what I am? There's a great song that goes about that. One of the most famous songs that people use at funerals is apparently, well, do you know what it is? I did it my way. Yeah, that's right. It is Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, because we like to be on the throne of our lives. And we think we are what we are because we've made ourselves as we are. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. And the world doesn't tell us that really either, because God, we believe that God made us, and he makes us what we are because of the gospel. It's what makes us who we are. So we're going to look at two things very briefly. What is this gospel? What is the good news about Jesus? What's all this fuss about? And secondly, why bother with it? Why does bother with the gospel? What does it do to us? So first of all, what is the good news of Jesus? And let's recap again what Mandy read. For what I received, I passed to you of first importance. And here it is, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, this event, these events that happened in we would think in history, and which nobody really disputes as history anymore, but you know, these events are, according to Paul, these are the most important thing that's ever happened in the world. That Jesus came from heaven as the Son of God, lived amongst us. And it says, he kind of distills the good news down into these three things here. That Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised. And the reason he says that is because Christ dying was kind of him paying the price that we should pay for our sins. Now, all of the candidates mentioned about the bad things, or maybe having to say that they're sorry to God for different things, and felt the need to do that. But we don't naturally do that. That's God and working in us through his Holy Spirit that helps us to lead us to think that we need to say sorry to him. You know, if we hurt somebody else, we always want to say sorry to them. Well, we should do. But not many of us think that we need to say sorry to God. And that's what, in a sense, Jesus died for. Because if we're out of step with God, we face life and we face death on our own. and we take the death that should be ours, the punishment. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. And so what Jesus did, and this is why Paul said it's so important, is because death is the enemy of everybody, isn't it? Death is something, and it seems weird to talk about that when we're at a baptism and it's all celebratory, but we have to start there. That the problem is that the punishment for our sin is death and separation from God. And we're all facing it. The ultimate statistic, every one out of every one person dies. And you don't know the day and I don't know the day. But it's in God's diary, it's not in mine. God's got, you know, we used to have file of faxes years ago, remember them? A big fat thing with all sorts of dates in that meant nothing. But God's got, if you like, the biggest diary ever, and he knows the day that you're going to come to meet him. And the question is, what are you going to say to him when you do, when you come to the end of your life and you've rejected him all your life, you're not interested? And that's why Jesus died, because ultimately the penalty for us rejecting God like that is death, but Jesus dies in our place. So that's why Paul starts there. He says that's important. He's overcome the biggest enemy, the one thing that nobody in humanity has ever been able to overcome, because death is the end, isn't it? It's kind of something that's there. That's why we were all frightened of coronavirus, not because of the virus necessarily, although that was bad enough, but we might die, because none of us can deal with that. We find it really difficult. No one wants to talk about it. But here, the good news of the gospel starts with the fact that death is not for us, it's for Christ. He took our punishment for our sin. So yes, physically we will die one day, but we will go on for eternity. That's what the Bible tells us. We live forever in his presence. And the Bible talks loads about it. I haven't got time to tell you about it all, what heaven's going to be like, but it's going to be a wonderful place. And Christ has made the way for us. So our hope is in him for the future. Not just here and now. The Bible says he's our shepherd while we're here and now and walks with us through our life. And all of the candidates again mentioned that, didn't they? How God walks with them, knows that God, they know that God's with them. And that's the truth for every Christian, the security of knowing that. But also beyond the grave as well. No one else can offer you that. Only Jesus can, because otherwise you face death, just you on your own. But without Christ, but with him, following him, then you know that you believe that he died for your sin, which is the thing that you face death for. And then he was buried. It was a real death. And he was raised. That's the beauty of it. Jesus just didn't stay dead. The greatest message of all of the good news is that Jesus rose from it and conquered death. And that's what this picture of baptism is all about again, isn't it? This raising up from the grave, it's a picture of us being identified with Jesus. When we get into the baptism pool, if you like, and when we commit our lives to Christ, what we're doing is saying, we want to identify with you. You've died the death that I should have so that I could have the life that you've given me through your resurrection. And so we don't have to fear. And it does all these things and what have you. So Paul says he's passed on this to them because he received it from God. And on the Damascus Road, we've all heard of the Damascus Road experience where God met Paul and it was unmistakably him and changed him from being a person who was going out to kill Christians and kill people of faith, of the Christian faith, to somebody who was completely, sold out and wanting to give all of his life to God, to follow him, to serve him. So what Paul is saying is that you can build your whole life on this truth. This is first importance. Nothing else. Everything else falls into place and perspective if you get this right. If you believe in a God who made you and has died for you on the cross and has rescued you from your sin and you know that your future is secure, then yes, you'll have ups and downs in life. They talked about that as well, very real testimonies. But what you will have is that hope that Jesus, God, will bring you through it all and one day you will spend eternity with him. And that's good news, isn't it? That's why we don't need to fear in this world. Christians don't need, sometimes we do still. We fall into that trap of fearing, but we don't need to. Sometimes we worry about how we're going to do things, but God is with us. And we know that God is with us, even through the ups and the down times. And this is a rock solid foundation we can build our lives upon. And so that's what the gospel is. That's why it's good news. The world, everyone in the world is trying to recreate what God has promised to us. He's promised us hope. He's promised us security. He's promised us a new life. And he's promised us eternal hope and glory with him. And a world, the eternal world, the heavenly world, is a world without pain and suffering and crying and all of those things that were promised. And we look forward to that. But there's a life to live here, of course, before that. But when we get there, that's what it's going to be like. And the world is trying to recreate that. We're trying to recreate heaven on earth. And we're making a terrible job of it. There's no politician who's got the answer to that. No leader in the world can ever lead us there. Only Jesus. And that's what the gospel is. That's why Paul says nothing else matters. You might have all the greatest ideas in the world, you philosophers in Corinth. You might think that you've got the best sporting prowess because a lot of good sportsmen live there. But none of that matters because it'll all go with you one day. But Jesus will take you all the way to the grave, yes, but through it and into eternal life. Everything about him. Isn't it wonderful? Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. It's first importance and it's all according to the scripture. And importantly, it's because the scriptures, the Bible, you know, it was prophesied years before that Jesus was going to do that. And so he fulfilled everything that he was meant to do. So Christ died, Christ buried, Christ rose again. That's what the gospel is. Rock solid foundation. But what does the gospel do? Why do, if we believe this, if we decide to trust Jesus, if we decide to confess that we've rejected him, our sin, like we were saying, and we've rejected him in all of our lives, and we want to follow him from now on, which is the testimony we've heard from all of our candidates tonight, from all of them, what does the gospel do? Well, in that passage, we had to go back to verses 1 and 2. You've probably forgotten them now, but what Mandy read for us, I'll remind you. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. This is the good news which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. So what's our response? We decide we're going to hold firmly to this truth. And what Paul says here is, you can stand on that in every situation that comes up in your life. You can stand on the promises of God through his word. It enables us to stand a firm foundation because we have that eternal hope that I mentioned before. And in Corinth, against all that the world is doing, all the other ideas of how they're trying to recreate heaven on earth and trying to make life better and making a mess of it, Paul stands up and says, no, you've got to stop. You know, yes, it's great that we can try and make the world a better place and reach out and touch somebody's hand and all that stuff and be kind, as it says on social media and all that stuff. We can try our best, but how often do we fail? We're never going to do that, are we? And what Paul says, no, you stand on this promise of God. And you allow Jesus to come and reign in your heart, and it will begin to change you. And you will be the answer to some of these situations. And that's why over the years, you look at the church, and the church gets a bad press these days, and it shouldn't really do, because most of the things, a lot of the things that have gone on in this world, and everything, the good stuff that happens, even today, you know, we talk about food banks and stuff like that. Where did they all start? They started in churches. Just ordinary people like you who decided they wanted to love people in their neighbourhood, because Christ loved them, and started collecting a few tins to give out. And it's blossomed through massively. And how we rely on them now. That came from the church, came from the love of Christ. Lots of things like that. Slavery. We all talk about racism and slavery. What have you. Slavery was abolished because of Christians who didn't want to see that anymore and went after it. And so on and so forth. God has done so much with it. I could go on for a long time about that. And it's because Christians are moved by the love of God and who do change the world. But ultimately, it's because God is changing them inside. And so against all that the world is doing, no philosophy can ever overcome it. No circumstance ever changes it. This message of the gospel, this firm foundation that we have in Christ, is unchangeable. And that's what makes it so compelling. That we don't change with the wind or whatever. We say, no, God is on the throne. He's still there. And if we let him reign on the throne of our lives, then he will be, as Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms in the Bible says, doesn't it? He is our shepherd. And he leads us by the still waters at times. And life's great. And he restores our soul at times. And isn't it wonderful when we're struggling? But he also, when we go through those valleys of the shadow of death or whatever it is, I don't fear any evil. Why? Because he's with me. And his rod and his staff will comfort me. What a great song. I wonder it's read all the time because it's such a truth. This is the outworking. This is what the gospel does. And we walk holding his hand through our lives, knowing we're safe until we get to the end. And then we've taken us into glory. So We can stand on all of this. The gospel, this good news, enables you to stand. When you're branded as a Christian for being extreme sometimes, this will help you to stand. When you get the exam results that didn't quite go the way you wanted them, it'll help you to stand, because we know that God has a plan. When your job is doubtful, or you're struggling with things at work, or you haven't got a job, or you're struggling with money, you can stand because God is with you and he's holding your hand, and you have a hope, and you know that God has a purpose and a plan, and he's working it out. When the kids are starting to rebel, of course they never do that, not in your house, but they do in ours. When the kids are starting to rebel and perhaps not doing the things that you would really want them to do, or when, you know, or just trouble in families generally, when it all seems to be falling about those the closest to you, you can stand on the promise of God, on the gospel. You can stand firm in your faith. When you lose someone you love and you're desperately sad, you can stand because you know there's life beyond the grave. When the test results come back from the hospital and they're positive and the world turns upside down, you can stand because of the good news of Jesus. All of these things in life that cause us so much strife. I'm not saying we never worry. I'm not saying we never feel a bit wobbly. But you can stand. It was a bit like when they were getting in the pool. A lot of them were very wobbly getting in there. And sometimes we find that the rock we're standing on is a bit wobbly. But you know what? God is with us. And just like Eddie was holding their hand, he holds our hand through each of the steps until we get to solid ground. There's a psalm in the Bible. One of the psalms, it's in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 40. It's my favourite psalm. And this is what it's like for a Christian, somebody who follows Jesus. I waited, it says, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined, he leaned down, because that's what God does. We can't get to him. He leans down to us. And he heard my cry. And the thing is, I'm in this miry pit. That's what it feels like. And he lifted me up out of the pit and gave give myself a place to stand. Made my footsteps firm. And you know what he does then? He gives me a new song to sing in my heart. Even though life has not been what we want it to be, but I see his hand at work in it. And then it says the reason he does that is so many other people will see and come to believe the same as me. And what you've done tonight, guys, if you've shared what God's done in your life, is enabling other people to see that it really is, you know, this is... I stand up as a pastor and I'm like the salesman. I've got to say it's right like this, haven't I? I do believe it and I really trust it. But, you know, you'd expect me to say that. But when people have given, people coming from the congregation just come and say, yeah, this is how it works for me. It's different, isn't it? It's powerful. And God is at work in their lives and he's at work in many of your lives, I know. Because this message of the good news of Jesus is eternal. It doesn't change and it's true. And Paul says right at the end of that little passage we read, by this gospel, you're saved. You're saved for eternity. You're rescued from the results of your rebellion against God, and you're placed on a firm place. And God says, and this is the loveliest picture of all, that he would never let anyone take you out the palm of his hand. And that's for you as guys as well. You've made a testimony tonight. You've shared that. And if you really trust him and carry on walking with him, God will never let anyone take you out of the palm of his hand. It's great to be in church, and we are a family, and it's wonderful, and a few of you said that, and it's brilliant that you did. But sometimes this church is going to let you down, and sometimes I will, and sometimes your friend will, but God won't. He holds you in his hand for eternity, and that's what this message is all about, isn't it? And that's why Paul could say at the end of it, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's not to do with me. It's because of God's wonderful grace and this lovely news of the gospel. Because he reaches out to me, because he helps me every day, I am what I am. And it doesn't say I am what I am and I'm perfect. It just says I am what I am. This is me. It's not an excuse for being bad. Sometimes we say, oh, well, I am what I am. You have to take me or leave me. You know, I'm sure some of you said that. But that's not what Paul's saying. He's rejoicing in it, saying, listen, I am what I am because he is who he is. And so we give the glory to God. And I hope you do that as well tonight. You have done already. But we give the glory to God for these people tonight because, yes, they're brilliant. They've given great testimony and what have you. And it's been a brilliant experience. But the glory is God's because in his grace he called them and brought them to himself. It's all because God loves you and brought you to himself. And it's the same for all of us who know him. And if you don't know him tonight, there's a God there and he's here. He's with us tonight. We know he is. And he wants you to know that he wants you to do that, to reach out, to touch him as well and to confess your sins to him, to confess your rebellion and believe in him and trust in him and want to follow him for the rest of your days too. And who knows, one day you could be in that pool as well. But it's not about that, just that, is it? It's about us knowing the truth and being able to stand firm in the gospel of Jesus. And that's what I wanted to leave with you tonight, because I think with their testimony, we couldn't not say something about that. The challenge is for all of you and us. And for those of us who have been Christians for years, what are you standing on? It's easy to get off, isn't it? It's easy to let, you know, to begin to drift a bit. No, stand on the promises. Stand on what God has said. Stand on his word and he will carry us and lead us through every situation that he gives. And we say, don't we, we're going to sing as we finish this evening, just before, in a minute, a great song that we've learnt recently. It's all about, and it was actually at the end of the reading, it's not about me, I'm going to live this life that God's called me to. Yeah, it's not I, it's not me, but Christ who lives through me. And we're going to sing about that now as we respond. But can I urge you to how we respond to what we've seen and heard tonight? How are you going to respond? What are you going to do with what you've heard? You can just say, it's a lovely time, it's great, and fine, that's great. You can walk away and carry on in your walking away from God. Or you can decide, no, I'm going to give it up. I realise that God has spoken to me tonight and I want to commit my way to him. If you are in that camp and you'd like to talk to somebody about it, come and speak to me or Eric, who you've seen, or Mandy, you've seen as well, and any other people you know in the church. If you've come with somebody, speak to them. And say, yeah, that made sense. I don't understand it all, but I know it needs to change. And maybe tonight could be the first step you make into this new life as well. So let's pray and then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you for what we've heard and what we've seen of you in the pool before as well. And we thank you for our candidates, Lord, and the fact that they've given testimony to you. And we thank you for it's all about this wonderful gospel, which is of first importance. If we get that right, Lord, we know that the rest of life starts to make sense. And so, Father, we pray through your Holy Spirit, you would move in this place and speak to people's hearts this evening, young or old, men or women, however long we've been a Christian, or if we've never trusted God before, Lord, that you would work and use what we've heard tonight for your glory in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we've done, though, is I've got some certificates for you. You can open them and place them somewhere. If you take them down to Aldi or Lidl, apparently you can get free stuff with them. I'm not sure. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. I don't know. They don't actually do anything. It's just it looked nice on your wall, maybe. Anyway, certificates. So I'm going to call you up one by one. I've got a verse for each one of you. I've written it, actually, the verse, not the actual verse, but the reference on your certificate, so you can look it up and always remember it. So David, do you want to come up first, okay? And let's give David another round of applause, please. And so David, your verse is this from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's your certificate, okay? Well done, mate. God bless. Thanks very much. And James, would you like to come up next? James, great. I know you were so excited about being in the pool and everything before, but this is what, you're never going to live that down, are you?
But this
is your verse, okay, that I believe. It comes from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not ever be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Bill.
God bless, mate. Okay. There you go. Thank you very much. And Claire is next. And Claire, your verse is, the Lord will keep you from all harm. From Psalm 121, verses 7 to 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Well done. Thank you. And finally, Melissa. Come on, Melissa. Come up. We've got a verse for you as well. Come on, Mel. That's right. Well done. Come here. Come over here. This is your verse, and it's this, okay, from Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 41 and verse 10. And it says this: "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Especially for you. And here's your sister. Keep praying for them, all right? Pray for them this week and in the future days as well.